This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know that feeling when you have something that's really been bothering you, or when you've been fixating on something in your life that's looming large in your mind? We all carry around different stressors in our lives, big and small, and I think we inherently know that when we keep them bottled up inside, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest, and to figure out how to work through whatever it is that's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for people who have experienced major trauma. There are plenty of benefits it can have for everyone. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. And don't underestimate the power of boundaries either. Those are super important. If you've been wondering if you should give therapy a try, check out BetterHelp. It's a fully online experience and designed from the ground up to be convenient and customizable to your schedule. To get started, you just have to fill out a brief questionnaire that will match you up with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no extra charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/filmdaily today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/filmdaily. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Thursday, April 11th, 2024. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about the USA and sci-fi series Chucky and present an interview with one of that show's stars, Devon Sawa. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editor BJ Colangelo.
Hi.
All right, BJ, I wanted to talk to you about Chucky because season 3, part 2 premiered last night on USA and Sci-Fi. And I've seen a lot of talk about the show. I know that you like this show a lot. I think you reviewed it for us at Slash Film. You've written about the show a bunch of different times. People in the horror community really love this show. I have kind of missed out on the whole Chucky phenomenon. I've seen the original Child's Play movie from 1988. And then I just kind of stopped. And there have been so many more movies and shows and things after that. So I guess, like, to set this up, I'm curious from your perspective, what is it that makes Chucky special as a franchise?
It's Don Mancini. For those who don't know, Don Mancini was one of the original writers on Child's Play. And Don Mancini has been a part of every single iteration of Chucky moving forward, with the exception of the remake. But all 7 of the Chucky movies, as well as this new TV series, all has Mancini at the helm. So the lore makes complete sense. This isn't a Halloween situation where there's like 45 different timelines fighting for supremacy. All Chucky fits in with itself. And I would say that there's like 3 different eras of Chucky. You have like the original first 3 films that feels like very traditional slasher. Then you have Bride and Seed, which is where we start getting a little bit more into the camp territory. And then we have Cult and Curse, which are bringing it back to being scary again, but also some sort of like culture surrounding Chucky. And then now with the TV series, it's all 3 of those eras sort of playing and intermingling with each other. And so that is the secret of why this series has lasted as long as it has, why people love this franchise so much, because it's always been one cohesive story.
So talk to me about the evolution of Chucky. Like, how has this character evolved over time? Because I only saw that first movie one time, and it was many, many years ago. Tom Holland directed that movie, not the Tom Holland you're thinking of. but I remember it having, like, you know, some amusing aspects. You know, there were some jokes and stuff in it, but I feel like the franchise has changed a lot just from the outside looking in. So is that actually true, or is it really like, how would you categorize how the Chucky franchise has evolved over the years?
Chucky, you know, the very, very first film, there's a lot of fun to be had, but it is genuinely very scary. It is playing into a lot of these terrifying fears surrounding, you know, children and, you know, fixating on the things that they love and how it, you know, lets them get destroyed by it. But as time has gone on, the series has really leaned into the absurdity of a serial killer possessed doll and is unafraid to have fun with it. And the fact that Don Mancini is also one of the most famous openly gay men working in the industry also means that as time has gone on and the world has evolved and changed and audiences have become a lot more accepting, he's been able to really play with that. So that's why as the series has evolved, it's gotten campier, it's gotten a little bit sillier, it's gotten way gayer, and it's been very, very fun to see that evolution happen. Because at the end of the day, though, it's still Chucky. Like, those terrifying aspects, Chucky's attitude, his mouthy behavior, the fact that he is, you know, he is still possessed by Charles Lee Ray, like a terrible, terrible human being serial killer. Like, those elements are all still there, but it's also not afraid to have fun with it. In the very first season of Chucky the TV series, there is an episode set on Halloween and Chucky has to, you know, hide among everybody. So he wears a Hello Kitty mask and goes trick-or-treating. Like, he's not afraid to have fun with it. And I think that's why people have enjoyed it. Also, the reality blurring of Chucky is really fascinating because Jennifer Tilly, the actress, plays a fictionalized version of herself, as well as one possessed by, you know, the spirit of Tiffany Valentine, a character she played. So there's a lot of fun meta things happening, which is why in season two of Chucky, there was an entire episode that doubled as a Bound reunion with her and Gina Gershon and, you know, Joey Pantoliano. It was so great. And I think that's why it's fun. It's so fun.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds awesome. So I guess, how would you describe what the show is doing now? Like, you mentioned, it seems like sort of a culmination of all the movies that came before. And it sort of, you know, has all like collided into the wild tones of what the show is. But like, what is actually happening in Chucky season three, part two, like without really like getting into too many spoilers for people who maybe haven't caught fully up yet, but sure. What's the gist?
Well, so the one thing that you need to know is that Devon Sawa has been in all three seasons playing different characters each time. Dan Mancini just keeps killing him and bringing him back and playing different characters. It's very Jessica Lange in American Horror Story of it, which I think is really funny. But all you need to know is that the start of the Chucky series is that Chucky is now in New Jersey and he's terrorizing New Jersey. He got into the hands of a young boy and he is sort of terrorizing him and his friend group, and he is slowly but surely trying to, you know, take over the world. He's, you know, implanting little bits of his spirit into other good guy dolls, trying to, you know, have his big Chucky army. And at the start of season three, Chucky found his way into the White House. He became the, you know, the friend till the end of the president's son, because he's not going to stop until he takes over everything. Season three was split into two because of the strikes. So the first four episodes were released a couple months ago. So the episodes that are out now, and that'll be coming weekly, are continuing that story. I'm not going to spoil anything. Also, the conversation that I have with Devon Sawa is a spoiler-free conversation. So if you haven't watched it, you can still listen, which I think is very fun. But last night's episode, they came out the gate swinging. The show is also so bloody and is also really gory. All of the fun things that you would expect from a slasher movie, you're going to get in this series, and you get it weekly. So just enjoy yourself and embrace the absurdity of it all. Of course, it is absurd that Chucky would be in the White House. That's the fun of it.
Yeah, it's just really goofy to imagine just like flipping channels, if people still do that, and stumbling across the show where just Chucky is like going all out ridiculous, you know, in the most absurd ways possible. So, the show is airing on USA and Sci-Fi, and you can catch up on previous episodes of the show on Peacock right now. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and present your interview with Devon Sawa. BJ, I first saw Devon Sawa in Casper, and mm-hmm. I primarily know him from the Final Destination movies, and he was in this really amazing underseen 2020 movie called Hunter Hunter.
Oh, he's so good in that.
So good. Yeah. So I was just wondering what you make of him as an actor, like broadly speaking, and then also who's your favorite character that he plays on Chucky?
So Devon Sawa is somebody who has always been a part of my movie going experience, because I also first learned about him with Casper and what is it? Little Giants, I think, is the kids sports movie that he's in. Mm-hmm. So as a kid in the 90s, you know, he was somebody that I watched. And then as I got older and his roles evolved, I really liked him in Idle Hands. I loved him in Final Destination. Final Destination is one of my like all-time favorite horror franchises. That is the horror franchise that I got to discover on my own. That wasn't like my mom telling me, hey, you're really going to like this Freddy Krueger guy. I mean, she's right, but finding it on my own was very important. So, you know, him in Final Destination was a big deal for me. And, you know, then he got to do some TV. That was really cool. But this turn he's doing on Chucky has been such a big boost for him and putting him back into, you know, the loving embrace of horror fans who have always been, you know, supporters of him and his work. And he's great. I mean, the first season he plays twin brothers, so he plays both brothers. The second season he plays a really hot priest because the kids get sent to Catholic school and Chucky has to, you know, terrorize the Catholic school. But this season he's the president. Season three, he is the president. He is America's first independently voted president who does not belong to any one political party. And it's really a really good turn for him. I think he's doing a lot of really great work. So this is probably my favorite of his three roles.
Awesome. Okay, so let's go ahead and play your conversation with Devon Sawa.
Hello, how are you?
Good. I see your Chucky in the background. I see.
Oh, yes. What's funny is I interviewed Fiona in season one and I had to assure her that those live on that door. It's not like special occasion that I put them up because I'm talking to somebody from Chucky.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. People love their Chucky swag.
Oh, absolutely. I've been trying to track down an affordable Tiffany doll for years, but she is pricey.
Yeah. I don't even have one. They didn't even send me a good Chucky doll. They sent me like the cheap version.
Oh, no.
It's all good.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me today. My name is DJ Colangelo. I'm coming to you from Slash Film. I was actually listening to your interview on the Inside With You with Michael Rosenbaum podcast this morning. So your voice has kind of been in my head all day today. But I was also reading your interview with Don Mancini in Fangoria on my flight yesterday after, of course, checking my tray table, which is something I do on every flight. And that is 100% your fault. But you were talking to Don about why he brought you back for seasons 2 and 3. And I loved that his response was, well, we had so much fun with you and we wanted to bring you back. And of course, that could mean producers, casting agents, people who, you know, have a say in those sorts of decisions. But it also sort of felt like the we also includes his longtime stable, Brad and Fiona, Jennifer Tilly, Alex Vincent. And the
100%. Lake. He means the latter of what you just said.
I assumed as much.
It's like a little crew we have now, and I'm just new to the crew, but they're really good friends, him and Fiona, him and Tilly, Brad in his own kind of way. Brad wasn't on set very much because of COVID, but yes, he really loves those guys. And so I'm sure that's what he meant when he said we.
And so knowing that they have, you know, in some cases, decades of history, or in the case of someone like Fiona, like she's birthed into this world, was it intimidating at all when you did join the show to sort of join this legacy family?
It was intimidating. I didn't feel like I really joined it the first season. I didn't feel like, I feel like I was just like a, you know, I was just a co-star and, you know, just doing, you know, I'm here to just exist for a season. And then at the end, I didn't know I was coming back. I didn't know I was going to do multiple roles. And I think when he asked me at the end of the first season to come back, it felt a little more like I was, you know, part of this world a little. I'm still don't feel like I'm one of the OGs. Like, you know, even though Christine and Alex aren't on the show very much, they still feel the most like out of everybody. They feel like, especially Alex, who's been around since 1988 or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm that connected.
I mean, and now, you know, Mancini also has this roster of these ultra talented young actors making a name for themselves in horror, which is a world that you know better than most and that you come from. So what is it like for you to be on the other side of that, so to speak? And does your history with teen horror make you feel some sort of obligation to be a mentor, to look out for them?
I do feel, especially for Zach, you know what, more than anything, it's been an incredible reward to see them grow as actors, because when they first started the show in season one, they were all like 14, 15. Mm-hmm. And especially Zach, he's the youngest of them and the lead, if you want to call it a lead, I guess they're all pretty much the lead, but he's got this, I guess he's the, in the center of the three.
Right.
Watching him become a young thespian along the way, like he was just like, he just showed up season one and he got the part and he was doing fine, but he really started to develop a craft. Along the way, he started taking prior moments before we shot to get into character, and he would stay in it, and he would think of things to get him emotional, and he would hype himself up with certain things or calm himself down or sit in a corner. It was really interesting to watch his process to develop over the 3 years. He went from just this kid that got a part to like, okay, maybe I'm gonna do this for the rest of my life, and I'm learning, and this is, that's been the most rewarding. I don't know if that answers your question, but I felt like that's, it's been the most rewarding thing about working with those three young actors.
No, I think that that definitely answers it for sure. And I mean, on the note of the teens, there's a moment in the first episode of season three, part one, where they all receive, a threatening text message from Chucky. And, the Devin character gets one that just says, "Fuck you, Devin." And it made me laugh out loud because that coincidentally could have just been a tweet on any given day between you and the Chucky account.
Right.
And I would love for you to talk about that rivalry because it really is one of the only reasons to even open that cursed app on any given day is just to watch you banter
Right.
with the Chucky app.
Right. I never knew it was going to take off the way it did. How it started was I had done the same thing with Macaulay Culkin, where I don't know how I got it, but Macaulay Culkin came to my house for something, and there was a headshot that he signed it, "Fuck you, Casper." And so I tweeted a picture of it, and all of a sudden me and Macaulay had this beef that ended, New York Magazine ended up doing this little thing. But it was kind of, it lasted for a bit and kind of died away. But I thought, what a cool little fake beef that was. And then somewhere down the line, I decided to take a shot at Chucky, and the social media team, and they're so great that they just kind of snowballed, and it's been a lot of fun. Sometimes they're dark, those Chucky people.
Yeah, I think it was after season one. I took place, like, I participated in this Fangoria poll thing. It was like, what was your favorite horror thing of the year? It could be anything. And I specifically said the Chucky Twitter account because any day that you log on and it's just a random account being like, at Devin Sawa, what up, dickhead? You're like,
Yeah,
today's
exactly.
going to be a good day. So, it's also served as its own, sort of marketing. And I think it's made you feel very integral to the series. I think you're already familiar with this, but horror fans are kind of their own breed of fans. They operate differently than, most
I'm fully aware
fandoms.
of horror fans because I am one, and that's why I feel most comfortable doing them. You'd think horror fans would be like a little bit kooky and like out of their minds and something wrong with them, but they're actually the sweetest. It's the people at the friggin' My Little Pony conventions or whatever that you really have to worry about, not the horror fans.
Totally agree with you completely. But they're very passionate and they feel, very indebted to the people that bring us joy. I'm obviously a huge horror fan as well. And you've definitely got, the people who know you from your younger work, but I think you've also got the people who've grown with you and grown through your career. Did you ever anticipate this sort of audience response at this stage in your career from horror fans?
No, not. I mean, it's been lovely. It's not too surprising because I always knew that I wanted to keep doing horrors, and I keep aggressively trying to get back into horrors. Like I will do a movie like Hunter Hunter, or I will do movies even though I think like the Glenn Danzig project, where I was hoping it would, be different than whatever. But I keep going back to the horror because it's my world and I love it so much. So I'm not that surprised that it's starting to. I mean, thanks Chucky, I guess. But yeah, it's something I want to keep continuing to do.
Wonderful. And so you've also gotten to play four different characters across these three seasons thus far. And I think of all of them, I mean, obviously, I'm always going to have a soft spot for anybody who's going to be a blasphemously hot priest. That's always great. But I do think that President James Collins might be my favorite, especially because he's a president elected as an independent, which is something we've never had in real life, and maybe I just desperately need that escapism right now. But can
Yeah.
you walk me through what developing that character was like, considering there's no real life examples of that to pull from?
Yeah. Well, first of all, when I knew I was playing the president, a couple decisions were made really quickly. First of all, I didn't want to be political at all. Like I didn't want to I wanted to be the president without being political, if that makes any sense. Like, I didn't want
Totally.
to lean towards either side of you know, left or right, and make any points during the show, or you know, I didn't want to do that. I also wanted to play the president as grounded as I could out of all the characters. Like, the priest was definitely flamboyant and big and over the top, and he kind of pivoted and moved and swayed and very religiously. I don't know if that's a he was just very, you know, grand. And of course the father was, you know, hunched over, and the uncle stood straight up because he was successful. But I wanted to not have such bold decisions with this character. I wanted him to be grounded and real, and much like, I guess, if I was the president. And yeah, that's kind of how the president became. And then what happens to the president? The opposite.
Well, I have time for one last question. So my last question will be for you, not thinking in character, but thinking as you. If you had to match wits with Chucky and take him down, what would be your method of destruction?
I would have Jennifer Tilly lure him into an oven full of Swedish meatballs. I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I think I would come up with something very clever like that. This
I think it's a
is
great
why
idea. I
I can't
mean,
kill him. I don't have good ideas.
yeah, I feel like if Jennifer Tilly was like, "Hello, I have Swedish meatballs," I would also fall for that trap. So
Right into the
I think
oven
it's a
you
good
go.
plan. But thank you so much for talking to me. That's the time I have with you today, and congratulations on a successful season three. I
I
finished my
appreciate it.
screeners and
Hopefully,
it's
we'll be talking
awesome.
on a season four.
Ah, good, beautiful. I love to hear it.
All right, PJ. So you mentioned that Devon Sawa played multiple characters here. Did you tell me if you had a favorite? Which is the one that resonates most with you, or that you most appreciate seeing him do?
It's definitely the president this season, and I know, in my heart of hearts, if Devon Sawa is on a season of Chucky, he's probably not going to make it out alive. So I'm just also thinking, what is Mancini going to do with him moving forward? I know Mancini's been talking about possibly doing another Chucky movie. If that's the case, I mean, he's obviously got to be there. What role is he going to play in that? I just love this little collaboration that has been birthed from them. It's really interesting. He's kind of the flip side of Jennifer Tilly because Jennifer Tilly is playing Jennifer Tilly as well as Tiffany Valentine, and those are the roles she consistently gets to play. And Devon Sawa gets to play in the same sandbox, but he gets to play a different person every single time. And that's great.
So, last question before we go. You mentioned that like everything in Chucky sort of builds on itself. Like everything counts, everything is canonical, right? So, the fact that Devon Sawa has played multiple characters throughout the seasons, and the fact that the show is kind of meta and comments, and like the Jennifer Tilly of it all and all that is commenting on itself and everything. Do characters ever comment on the fact that Devon Sawa looks like a guy who died or whatever in previous seasons? Like, do they get that meta with it?
Sometimes, but it's always very playful when they do
Okay.
it. It's never like, wow, you definitely look like X character. It'll be like, Jennifer Tilly will have flirted with one character in one season and then she'll flirt with the character the next season. And it's like, yeah, you definitely look like someone I used to know or something like that. So it's always very playful in the way that they acknowledge it.
She has a type. Excellent.
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's episode of the show. You can find much more about everything that we mentioned on the show at slashfilm.com. We'll try to link to a bunch of things in the show notes as well. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really does help us out a ton. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.